It's time for Let's Talk with Brian Pettaway.
Good morning, happy Sunday, and welcome to Let's Talk. I am your host, Brian Pettaway, or Brother B, or listen, I'll answer to almost anything. I've been called pretty much everything, so I'll answer to almost anything. But I'm here today. We've got a great show. It is gorgeous outside today. Hopefully, you'll stay with me for about an hour today and listen to some of the things that I have to say, sharing some things that I've learned from the past week. And then, you know, you can go out and enjoy this weather. Now, I got to be honest. I had a very interesting week. I had a headache that would not go away. It was with me for 7 days. And I don't mean like a regular headache. I mean one of those headaches that shoots to the top of your head. And it's like somebody sticking a knife in your ear. That kind of headache. And, you know, as you get older, especially black men, you start to worry about your blood pressure, you know, hypertension, things like that, right? And so, of course, it wasn't lost on me that could be the thing. So I got a little nervous, you know, I got a little scared. I wondered, like, is this the day that I stroke out? Is this the day that I fall down and I don't get back up? Like, what the hell's going on with this headache? Now, that being said, I understand that I am not an obese man. Like, I don't waddle. I can walk a flight of stairs without wheezing. I can go out and I can run a couple miles, walk more. Like, all of that is fine. And people might look at me and say, Brian, you look fine. But I know that I am not where I should be. I recognize that my workout regimen is nowhere near what it used to be. That I don't eat as healthy as I should eat. I can fool everybody else. I can untuck a shirt. I can wear clothes that aren't as tight. Like, I can do all of that. But I can't fool myself. I can't fool my heart. I can't fool my liver. I can't fool my kidneys. I can't fool my blood sugar. Untucking a shirt does not fool those things. And I know how these things can start to fail us if we don't take care of these things and we're not diligent about taking care of these things. I am not ignorant to that fact. The problem for me, like a lot of us, is that I am on the go a lot. I'm active, but I'm not active in a way that is conducive to good health, and I stress. I stress when I don't get projects done in a timely manner or if something is coming up. Can I juggle these three things at the same time? Can I get all of this done in that amount of time? You know the drill. I go, 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 go. And before you know it, I haven't eaten or I've eaten the wrong thing. I didn't get that workout in. Listen, I'm ashamed. I have a Peloton right next to my bed. Right next to my bed. Not across the room, not downstairs in my basement. Right next to my bed. I roll over. I look at my Peloton. Now ask me how many times I get on my Peloton a week. The answer, honestly, is not nearly enough. And that is no one's fault but my own. I literally did a show on this very thing about chasing the bag instead of your health. I just did it last month. So I am the biggest hypocrite when it comes to this. I understand it. And I'm saying it this morning because I also know that I'm not out here by myself. I recognize that there are a lot of people listening to me right now who are in the same boat, who know better, but they don't do better. And you know what I also know? Is that for most of us, our body is fair to us. Our body will tell us in some type of way, it'll give us some warning that something ain't right. Maybe you're wheezing a little harder when you walk that flight of stairs. Maybe your heart's beating a little faster than it should be. Maybe you have a headache like I got and it just won't go away. Maybe your vision gets a little bit blurred sometimes. You don't know why. You get a little dizzy when you stand up. Your body is going to send you a warning sign some kind of way to tell you that something is wrong, because our bodies, for the most part, are very fair to us. But we are typically not fair to our bodies. We will get a warning sign from our bodies and we'll say, yeah, I know I'm breathing a little harder than I normally do. But next week, I'm gonna do something about that. I'm gonna start working out and eating right. And then next week comes and goes. And then you say, well, for real this time, next week, I'm really gonna buckle down. I'm really gonna start eating right and I'm gonna start working out like I know I should. And next week comes and goes. And before you know it, your body, who has been warning you, shuts down on you. And your friends are either visiting us either in the hospital or the funeral home. Those are the only two options at this age. So what I'm saying to you is this headache, yeah, it was a pain in my head, but it was also a warning sign. And it made me realize that, yes, my tomorrows are more limited than they used to be. But if I don't take care of myself, they'll even be more limited than that. So today, I started my workout regimen, okay? And what I need people to do that are listening, that are in the same boat that I am in, please take it seriously, because tomorrow is promised to no one. And when you get a warning sign, before you get a warning sign, jump into your health. And I don't mean spend 2 hours a day with cardio. Health experts say that people 45 and older really only need 20 minutes of cardio. Just 20 minutes a day. Give your body 20 minutes a day. That's all I'm asking. And eat properly and drink lots of water. I mean, that's really all you need. We are exercising to have healthier bodies, a happier existence, and to live longer lives. All right, enough about that. Listen, I've got a great show lined up for us today. I've got an interview with a guy who is a part of the governor's team, and they have come up with a great plan for seniors that are graduating high school who really don't know exactly in which direction they want to go, or if they do, they either do not have the money for the training or they don't have the experience to get the job. So graduating seniors find themselves thrust into a scary situation of hopelessness and not knowing what to do, and it's a very scary position to be in. Well, the governor's office has realized that, and he has come up with a plan. And today I'm going to be talking to the Secretary of the Maryland Department of Service and Civic Innovation, Secretary Paul Montero, and he's going to be telling us exactly what this plan is and exactly how this plan works. Also, of course, I've got the Petty with me today. He's going to be talking to me all things sports, and there's a lot going on in sports, let me tell you. So, of course, I'm eager to hear what he has to say today. And then also, I've got lined up for you This Day in History. But first, of course, you've got me. I'm going to talk about what's gone on in the past week, news and commentary. So I hope you're feeling great, because I'm feeling great. I've got lots to talk about, so let's get right to it. Well, we're just a couple of weeks, from the first day of summer, and already the mayor's nightmare every year of youth crime exploding in the city, especially close to the harbor, is already becoming a reality. Fox 45 is reporting that on Tuesday, Baltimore police received a call about a group of juveniles fighting near the Renaissance Hotel in the 300 block of Light Street downtown near the harbor. Now, an Inner Harbor police unit was already nearby and noticed a group of juveniles attempting to rob a food delivery driver of his moped. That delivery driver crashed and was injured, and the police did detain an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 12-year-old. This incident is just the latest violent act involving juveniles in as many months. On April 1st, a 17-year-old was shot and killed in front of the Renaissance Hotel at around 8:30 in the evening. That same month, a man was robbed by three juveniles in front of the Marriott Hotel at Harbor East. Baltimore City schools are scheduled to let out for the summer next Thursday, and I gotta tell you, with the lack of summer programs for these kids, it's only going to get worse. Also in the news, unfortunately, in Baltimore, is Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby, who on Thursday filed an appeal of her criminal convictions. Mosby was sentenced in May, the 23rd to be exact, to 3 years of supervised release and 12 months of home confinement. She was not sentenced to any prison time for her convictions for mortgage fraud and perjury. Now, Mosby also filed an appeal to get her Florida condo back, which she had to forfeit along with 90% of her proceeds. Look, Marilyn Mosby, I love Marilyn Mosby. I mean, I really do. And I am so happy that she is not in prison right now, that she is home with her babies. But the thing is everybody thought she was going to prison. Everybody thought she would be in prison as I speak today. The federal government spent millions to get her there. The only thing that stopped Marilyn Mosby from being behind bars was Lydia K. Grigsby, a black woman on the bench who made a career decision in protecting Marilyn Mosby and poo-pooing in the federal government's face by sentencing Marilyn to a lesser sentence than some white men have gotten when convicted of the same charges. I mean, it's the best outcome that anybody could have hoped for. And somebody had to suffer, and it wasn't Marilyn Mosby. It's the person who I feel she's slapping in the face right now, and that's Lydia K. Grigsby. If I'm Marilyn Mosby, I am so thankful to both my maker and Lydia Grigsby, and I'm going home. I'm serving my 1 year of home confinement at home, not in prison, and then I come out stronger. This right here, this reminds me of OJ tempting fate, and we all know what happened in the end, right? Just let it go. Also in the news this week, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. As we know, Alvin Bragg is the man who brought the hush money trial against Donald Trump. Well, now Republicans have asked Bragg to testify before them in Congress in an attempt to discredit Trump's conviction. I have no idea, because this is a voluntary thing. I have no idea why Alvin Bragg agreed to do this. There is nothing to be gained from it. Absolutely nothing. But this is Democrats' biggest flaw. In an attempt to be transparent and honest and feeling we have nothing to hide, he will go to Congress and answer questions. The problem is he will not get an opportunity to speak. They will ask him a question, and then instead of allowing him to speak, they're going to talk over top of him, these Republican congressmen I'm referring to, and lie and embellish and exaggerate what the truth actually is. And what the public will hear is not Alvin Bragg, but instead people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Ted Cruz making Trump sound like a victim. That is not something that we need to hear. So why would Alvin Bragg agree to this and give them that type of platform. Again, it's like being your own worst enemy. Just take the win and go home. And finally in the news, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, has rescued 4 Israeli hostages from Hamas that were taken October 7th during the raid. The problem with this raid to get these hostages, and I'm so happy that the hostages are finally released, but the IDF had to kill 210 innocent people. They killed 210 innocent Palestinians to get these 4 hostages and injured 400 others in the process. I don't know, maybe it's me. I'm just not sure how successful a mission that is when you kill 210 innocent people. All right, it is time for This Day in History, my favorite segment of the show, and I'm going to give you 3 events that happened throughout our history on this day. And there were some interesting things that happened on June 9th throughout our history. The first I want to present to you is the Roman Emperor Nero. He committed suicide on this day, June 9th, in 68 AD, employing his secretary Epaphroditus to slit his throat to evade a Senate-imposed death by flogging. Now, Nero was the 15th emperor of Rome and notorious for his brutality, his debauchery, and how eccentric he actually was. He killed his mother, he killed 2 of his wives, and really had no interest in ruling Rome. The only interest Nero had, apparently, was in his art. Again, Nero committed suicide June 9th, 68 AD, at the age of 30. Also on this day, the very first appearance of Donald Duck as a cartoon called The Wise Little Hen was showing in theaters on this day, June 9th, 1934. Since that time, the only cartoon character that exceeds Donald Duck in fame is Mickey Mouse. And finally, on this day, June 9th, 1978, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as Mormons, strikes down a 148-year policy of excluding black men from priesthood. From 1852 to 1978, temple and priesthood policies in the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints prohibited both black women and men from temple. During this time, leaders in Mormon's largest denomination, the LDS Church, taught the restriction came from God, and many leaders gave several space explanations for the ban, including that black people were less valiant in their premortal life. But over time, those restrictions and myths were relaxed, and in 1978, on June 9th, the priesthood policies and restrictions against black men and women were lifted. Well, there you have it. Those are the 3 things that I found interesting in the history of our world on this day, June 9th. All right, it's time to get to my guests and discuss today's topic, and that is paid internship. There is a program that the governor has come up with that is so crazy that I thought, well, maybe I heard it wrong. But after I researched it, I didn't get it wrong. It's absolutely what I heard it was and absolutely what I thought it would be. And it's so amazing that I can't believe it's not splattered over every front page of every newspaper in this state. But it's okay because I've got somebody here today to give us all the details about this program. He is the Secretary of the Department of Service and Civic Innovation on Governor Westmore's staff. So if you are a graduating senior, listen. If you have a graduating senior as a parent, get them to listen and you listen as well. If you have a friend or a family member or neighbor that have kids that are of graduating senior age, please make sure that they are listening. You do not want to miss this information. So without further ado, let's get this discussion started. All right, 1500 family and Let's Talk, please help me welcome to the show Maryland Secretary of Service and Civic Innovation, Secretary Paul Montero. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I am not bad, not bad at all. I appreciate you taking the time, like I said. You know, it's always good when I can have someone from the office come and talk to me and let me know what's going on. You have a pretty interesting mix of things on your resume, I got to tell you. Now, you were born and raised in Prince George's County?
So I was born in Howard County General Hospital, but we moved to Prince George's County when I was like 3.
Okay. All right. But you're a Maryland guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Proud Marylander.
Okay, went to Maryland University, all the good stuff?
Yes, sir. Prince George's County Public Schools, University of Maryland undergrad. I went to Howard for law school, but still lived in Maryland while I did it.
Yeah, I won't hold that against you. That's okay.
Okay, thank you.
I say you have a mix of things because you're a history buff like me, because I love history, and you seem to be a history guy. But also, you love law. I love law, too. The thing that really got me was you're a theology guy. Like, you're a religion guy. So How does that incorporate to all of the things that you've done and do?
I think fundamentally it's about how do we live together as people and what are our obligations to one another. And that's sort of a through line that I've seen first as a beneficiary of, you know, our neighbors in Maryland who helped me and my family when we needed a little bit of extra help. Some great public school teachers, a social safety net of people that helped us sort of make a way. And then in the jobs that I've taken, trying to be part of the universe of folks who are helping others, serving others. And I think the law and definitely in terms of government and politics, it's very much trying to figure out the rules or policies that we're going to promote so that we can live together and pursue our individual passions and dreams, but still meet our obligations to each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of civility that seems to be lacking, unfortunately, these days. Did you have to change up your game at all over time because of the internet and social media? Meaning, the way that you would promote a program before, is it the same way you promote a program now, or do you do it differently?
We do it differently. I think social media definitely has a place because just so many eyeballs are on a screen, on a smartphone, on a computer. But that being said, especially because we have a new program, making sure that we're introducing it to people through trusted community leaders, through credible messengers at the local level. Because I think unless someone hears it from someone they know and trust, it's going to be hard to sign up for a program that you just saw online.
Right, right. That's very true. So you do have a new program. Now, I got to be honest. I've been pretty rough on Baltimore City government, in particular the mayor, in reference to programs that are lacking for kids in the city, right? After school and summer. And I honestly didn't know if anybody was listening. And I spoke with the governor, and he said that when he got in office, he was going to try and get some funding for that. And it appears that you have a plan, that you have a program. Can you explain to us what that is?
Yes, this is something that Governor Moore has been dreaming about for 20 years, long before he was governor. And actually Senate President Ferguson as well through the Maryland CORE program. So this is a new program, first in the nation program, that gives a year of full-time service to individuals to benefit the state, but also improve their situation. Members that are accepted into our program get to choose where they serve, and they can serve in the widest possible range of employers. They can be at a nonprofit. They could be at a for-profit business if they think they want to start a business one day. Healthcare, education, climate, environment, technology. They're paired with a mentor. They have a success coach as well that walks with them over the course of the year, because as much as it is about getting hard and soft skills, earning a living wage, this is not a free or volunteer type thing. This is a full-time commitment.
Okay.
Working with our member so that, yes, they get the hard and soft skills, but they also figure out and are able to discern where they want their life to go, whether it's a specific career or an apprenticeship or college or military service. We just want to make sure that people have space to discern where their purpose meets their passion, as opposed to just having to pick a job coming out of high school because it's the only job you know. That's a job, not a career track. And so this is, we launched last October. We have a cohort of about 200 something people serving statewide. And we're now recruiting for class two, coming up on the next application deadline of June 15th.
Who presents the applications? How can applicants get applications?
Applicants can go online to serve.maryland.gov. We've deliberately designed an application that takes, 15, 20, 25 minutes. There is no GPA requirement. There is no criminal history background check. There is no citizenship question. It's important that we design a program that is inclusive of the widest range of people, no matter where they're starting from in life, making sure they all have access to this year of service. So that's where they can get the application. Again, the next deadline is coming up June 15th for the class that would start serving in September of this year.
And what is the age requirement? Is there a minimum or maximum?
So for the servicer option, it's for recent high school completers. So they have to be over 18 and have graduated high school in the last 3 years. So roughly 18 to 21.
Okay. Now, GED applicants?
Absolutely, yes. So as long as you finished high school, whether through GED, certificate of completion, or a traditional diploma, you are eligible.
Okay. All right. And it is a paid position. It's a job. It's a job.
It is. These are roles where people are full-time employees of the host site employer they're placed at. And again, they choose where they go. You think you want to be in the healthcare field, we find a placement working with you to place you in a healthcare setting. Same with the legal, same with the IT, cyber, coding. So the members all make above the state minimum wage. Members will make at least $15 an hour, but many of the employers are paying more than that. And it does include benefits. And our program is unique in a different way. We have to contemplate and really think through with the host employers wraparound supports, specifically making sure that transportation is buttoned up, that people are housing secure, that people are the childcare is in place, that their food secure. Because we just know from too many other examples, if you don't have these baseline subsistence needs met, service is a nice thing to do that's not a realistic option for you.
Right.
And so members that come in with needs, I just want folks to hear me clearly, like, don't let that stop you from applying, because this is a program that works to fill those gaps so that you can focus on your year of service.
That's awesome. Like, is there a number of applicants that's a cutoff? Like, are you looking for 300, 500, 1,000? Like, what is the cutoff for that?
Well, good question. So the law that creates us called for a cohort of 200, at least 200 people for the year we're in right now. We have to get to 2,000 by 2026. So we're effectively trying to double every year. So this year, we're trying to field a class of 500, at least 500 people. So that's our target we are aiming to hit.
Okay. So let me get this right. You could be a GED or a diploma holding graduate, 18 and older. Criminal history is irrelevant. GPA for that graduation is irrelevant. And it is a year commitment, correct?
That's correct. I would just say on the criminal history, I wouldn't say it's irrelevant. I just want people to know, you know, if folks have made bad decisions in the past and paid for it, that's not disqualifying. It just may help us sort of target where we're going to place you and the employers that you would be able to choose from. We always obviously have to be mindful of, you know, different employers have different requirements in terms
right.
of who can work in their facilities, but there's a range of employers that are available. So I just want folks to not count themselves out if they have some mistakes in their past.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to, because they're, you know, mm-hmm. felonies are felonies, you know.
And people, when we get into vulnerable populations, you know, different employers have different things. But yeah, the program is deliberately designed to be inclusive of people that may have a history, individuals with disabilities, people who may have come through the GED route, people who may be not citizens, but part of this Maryland community. And so we're just trying to make sure it's as inclusive as possible.
That is, listen, man, that is awesome. That's music to my ears. I love it. The whole Dreamer situation, you're very familiar with that, right? When you talk about kids that are coming through their program, how are they affected by this?
So citizenship isn't required as long as they have legal authorization to work in the state.
Right.
That's fine. That's sufficient for our program. So we didn't want that to be a bar for people who want to serve the state, even as they discern where they are going to fit in life after high school graduation or high school completion.
Okay. This is awesome. How long has this been going on?
So we've only been at it less than a year. The governor signed the law creating our department last April. We launched the first class in late October of last year, and we're coming up on their completion in 2 months. So we're coming up on a year, but it's a pilot program of a first-in-the-nation service experience like this, and we're proud to lead the way. But I'm so gratified to see 2 weeks ago the governor of New York, they announced they're going to create their own service year. January of this year, Governor Cox of Utah announced they're creating their own service year program too, because it's not a unique problem. I mean, you have just a lot of young people, especially this cohort that lived through COVID,
right?
Coming out of high school, but not yet sure what's next for me,
right?
And whether it's college or whether it's a job or career, giving people the space and support and mentoring to make an informed decision So they don't just have to jump at the first job that's right in front of them that may be an underemployment situation for them and that not offer growth.
So who funds the program? Is the state funding the program or do the employers fund the program? Like, who funds this program? Is it state funded?
Great question. So the state provided, in effect, seed capital to get this thing going.
Okay.
But as we go, employers are, especially large employers, those with 50 or more employees, they're paying towards the cost of the members serving at their organization. Every year that we go, the employer contribution will increase so that the state's seed money to get us through the first couple of years will then, the projection is, the outside employer match will ultimately become the largest funding stream. As employers see, this is a universe of talent that you want to be tapped into because these are individuals that are service-minded. These are individuals earnestly trying to build their own skill sets. And the employers can effectively see this as a almost like a 10-month job interview.
Right.
You're exactly. Training these people the way you want them to be trained. You may want to keep them on when they finish and just hire them.
Exactly.
And so the hope is that over the long run, and the employer sector is the one funding this program in the main.
You know, I asked a question a while ago, and I asked actually to the governor. You know, we have kids that are athletically talented, and you have recruiters coming to them all the time, to their high schools, come to the games, things like that. We don't have academic recruits that come in the same way, with the same fervor, and they're celebrated for being there the way that athletic coaches are. Are there anybody, or is there anyone that are going to schools right now, especially into inner city schools, and recruiting kids based on their GPA, or recruiting kids because they are socially responsible, trying to get them into programs like this, letting them know that these programs are available?
Well, that's part of why I'm so grateful to be on your program right now, because we do have a small team of recruiters, but I emphasize small, and we're hitting every high school we can, a lot of graduation practice ceremonies so that before they walk, they can know there's another option. And ultimately, as this inaugural cohort graduates, my hope is that they become our best recruiters to go back to their communities and say, you know, don't just, you know, listen to the flyer or what you saw on social media. My testimony is I did this program and it was good for me to set me up for whatever I'm doing now. That would resonate better than I could ever say. And so the hope is that as these couple hundred people graduate this summer, that they turn around and not just promote the program to the schools they came from, to their communities, but also mentor the members coming in class two as we grow the thing. So that's the hope. But again, your program is going to be really helpful in getting the word out to a lot of people who still haven't heard about the service year option.
No, this is awesome. You know what's great? It's great to have someone on your show pre office, like Governor Moore. He came on the show before he was elected. He talked about the things he wanted to do. Then he got into office, and shortly after that, he talked about the things he wanted to do. And to see them actually happening is amazing, because you get promises from politicians all the time that don't really pan out, right, for whatever reason. But to actually see the things going on that he said he was going to do as far as investing in youth and setting up programs, it's amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing to me.
He's been dreaming of this. I mean, and that's his story, right? Like, he grew up with a single mother, lost his dad early, felt handcuffs on his wrist when he was 11, making bad decisions, and his mom at her wit's end put him in that military school, and then he tried to run away.
Right.
But really at that military school, understanding not just the purpose he found in service, but how it saved his life and actually showed them he's a leader.
Right.
And just making sure we can tap into service, you know, military or civilian, and let our young people know, like, you have gifts you haven't uncovered just yet. And through service, you might tap into what brings you a sense of purpose, a sense of mission, fulfillment, and a way to make a living in this very expensive marketplace and economy and land in a not minimum wage job, but to land in a career that gives you upward trajectory or in a university or an apprenticeship program. No matter what they choose at the end of the year in our program, we also give them $6,000 towards their next step.
Oh, wow.
So if they're going into apprenticeship, if they're going into school, it's $6,000 toward their fees. Or if they say, I found a job I love, I'm doing coding, I'm doing IT, I'm in the healthcare, they can take the $6,000 after taxes, but it's a nice lump sum to, you know, get your first apartment, get your used car, start your life. Don't get stuck on the sidelines. And so the governor's very much seen how service has set him up for this success, and he wanted to build a program premised on the power of service, and that's what this is.
Mr. Secretary, why is this not splashed all over the news? I don't understand. This is such a gem. Why is it such a hidden gem? It just seems like, I don't understand.
Well, after today, because I know you have a bunch of listeners, so after today, I bet they're going to spread the word. Please visit serve.maryland.gov. I think the governor just tweeted today and put it out on his Instagram as well. So hopefully the word is getting out, because the deadline's coming up. The next deadline's coming up June 15th. But I believe that we're really starting to hit, and people will catch on.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I got a big mouth, so I'm definitely going to be spreading the word without a doubt. This is unbelievable. Seriously, it was brought to me, and I didn't really understand it. And the more it was explained, I was like, well, this can't be happening, because I would have heard about this by now. And it's true. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, you guys are paying seniors to internship at places where they want to be interested in. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, this generation, you know, they have to choose.
Right.
You know, they're not going to, you're going here, you're going to, no, it's like, you tell me what you're interested in, what you think you're interested in, we'll do some assessments, and then based on what you've expressed, we'll come back with a list of potential employers. And then you interview, they're interviewing you, but you're interviewing them too. And if there's a match, then that's where you're going to be for the year. If not, we'll keep moving until we find a match.
And that's the difference. You're allowing students to decide what they're interested in, and then you're supporting their interest.
That's right. They got to write their story and know there's more options than they can see in whatever their day-to-day experiences is. And we want to bring them. We have more than 200 employers that have come to the table looking for this talent. So there's no shortage of options. It's really just where their interests lie.
So and I hate to take up all your time. I'm just so curious. Are you guys finding these employers, or is there an incentive for employers to come to the state and say, hey, I want to be a part of this program?
I think in the pilot year, we definitely, went around to, different employers in the state trying to encourage them to apply. The governor's our best salesperson. He's always talking to industry, chambers of commerce. He's been pushing a lot of companies to sign up as host employers.
Right.
In the pilot year, we had more than 100. As we head into year two, it's more than double. As the word's getting out that this is a pipeline of talent you want to be attached to. So we have more than 200 employers now at the table, twice what we had the first year. And again, we want to keep growing that pot so that the menu of places a young person can go expands and expands and expands.
So it's been pretty successful, is what you're saying, based on what's happening so far.
Thank God, yes. We are seeing great growth in the employer base, and we're seeing a lot more interest as word gets out to potential members, individuals who want to apply. And again, we have to grow and double to make sure we're getting to 2,000 members by 2026.
And this is all over the state. This isn't concentrated on just this side of the bay or the other side. This is all over the state.
All over the state by design. One of the goals of this program is, because service is one of the last things left, where people will do a good thing together without checking your credentials. In the sense of, who did you vote for?
Or right.
What party are you a part of? It's right. Like, no. Service is, I saw some hungry people that needed some help. I saw some kids that needed tutoring. I saw something that needed cleaning up in the community. And I looked at who's available. Let's go. And service is very much what we're trying to do, is use that convening power of service to have people serve together across lines of difference. So the law that creates our department is called the Serving Every Region Through Vocational Exploration. So it's important that Eastern Shore, Mountain Maryland, Baltimore, Prince George's, Southern Maryland is all included. So yes, it's a statewide cohort of 500 people we're recruiting, and they would serve in employers in every part of the state.
Awesome. As far as recruiters go, are they a part of the governor's cabinet, or can people volunteer to recruit? How does that work?
I will, because again, our recruitment team is very small. So the more people say they'll help us spread the word, pass around our fact sheets or flyers or direct people to our website, please have them reach out to us, because we could definitely use any volunteers. And again, hearing about our program from someone folks know and trust, that's going to be better than me running my mouth. So I encourage people who want to help spread the word. Our doors are open for that.
Awesome. Well, listen, I appreciate the time. One more time, where can people go? Where can graduating seniors go? Where can parents go to get this information? One more time.
Please visit serve.maryland.gov. serve.maryland, and Maryland is spelled out, serve.maryland.gov.
Secretary Montero, I appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
No, this is awesome. This is so good. And trust me, I'll be spreading the word.
Thank you, sir. God
all
bless.
All right, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, well, listen, knowing anything about what's great for seniors graduating and getting them help is always a plus. I love hearing about them having options this year, especially in this state and in this city. We need that kind of help. But I know you hear the music. It's time for the Petty. Let's call him and see what he's talking about today.
Good morning. Good morning to you, Brother B. Brother B, how are you? Happy Sunday to you.
I'm great, bro. I'm great. Wait a minute. Where are you? What's all that noise?
Brother B, I told you last week I would be down here in Maryland. I'm right here in Columbia, Maryland at the Capitol Jazz Fest. I told you I'd
be
here.
Man, you are always doing something, bro. You're always doing something.
Listen, it is a lovely day. I'm down here with all these lovely people. And, man, this is just a great thing. It always is a great thing. And I'm telling you, Brother B, you should be here. It's beautiful out here today.
Hey, how many years you been doing this now?
I've been doing this now since 2012. Consecutively since 2012, no, I did not come down for the years of the pandemic because they didn't have it.
Right.
And
right.
In 2021, the year after the pandemic, I didn't come down because I was like, I don't know. But my very first one was in 2000 when I was still living here in Maryland.
That's what I thought. I knew you were going longer than that. Yeah. Okay. All right. So what you got for us today, man? I don't want to hold you. I know you got your lineup, your jazz lineup, bro. So what you got?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So listen. The NBA Finals have started, and as I said, it'll probably be Dallas and Boston. And if you watch that very first game, oh my God, Boston put it on Dallas. I was quite surprised.
Yeah, that's shocking.
My money is still on the Mavericks. I'm telling you, I think the Mavericks will get it done. Listen, game one in the hometown city is always got to go with the hometown favorite.
Right.
That team is very, very powerful. So I'm still looking for Dallas to possibly pull it out six or maybe even seven games.
Okay. Okay.
Also, we got the NHL Finals going on, and just as I predicted, it would be Florida and would be Edmonton.
Okay.
Now, I'm kind of like in the Edmonton Oilers because I remember the days when they played with Gretzky and Mark Messier, and I'm kind of like siding with Edmonton, but I honestly believe with the talent that's out there, most likely it will be the Florida Panthers that will raise the Stanley Cup.
Okay. All right. All right.
Now, quickly before I get out of here, enjoy some of this music and the rest of this day and some of this food. And of course, I'm going to get my drink on. I'm going to talk about those high-flying O's. Yes, they're still in second place behind those damn Yankees.
Right.
But they're playing some good baseball right now, especially the game they played on Friday night. Man, oh, man, it was very exciting against the Tampa Bay Rays. And like I said, I'm looking for the O's to make a move pretty soon. They will definitely be in the playoffs. I'm thinking they're going to make their World Series run.
Right.
If you listen to the interview with Brandon Hyde, he said they got a very good mix of talent, youth, and veterans, and that they're a very good ball, and they're deep. So I'm looking for the O's to make a move.
Okay.
I don't even want to talk about the WNBA right now because they're still talking about Caitlin Clark. Listen, I'm going to make this thing short and sweet. I'm about to get out of here, Brother B. Next week, I have a little bit more for you. I am out of here. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, because God damn it, and I don't talk like that on your show, but I'm going to say it today. God damn it, I'm going to enjoy mine. I'm out of here. Peace.
Peace, brother. Peace. That was the Petty. No telling where my brother's going to show up, but I know every single year he's at the Jazz Fest having a great time, but he did not want to miss the show. He wanted to give the information that he gave, so I appreciate him because he's always dependable, always reliable, so I'm hoping the Petty's having a great time. All right, well, that hour has come to an end very quickly, and it is the end of the show, but I really, really hope that you were able to get down the information that the Secretary has given us today. This is a game changer in this state, and in particular in this city. We can clean up a lot of crime, we can keep a lot of kids off the street, we can give a lot of kids hope with a paid internship of where they want to be, and that is the difference. They're getting to choose where they want to go, where their interests lie, and they are being trained by people who might be interested in putting them on the payroll when their internship expires. That is huge. That is a big deal. Because not everybody, first of all, is ready for college right out of high school. Some people aren't ready for college ever at all. It's just not their shtick, and that's okay. But if you have a trade, if you're already involved in something that you love, you're getting paid to do, and you do well, the sky's the limit. So I'm really, really happy about this program. Also, if you missed any portion of this show or any of my shows, you can always go to my website, voiceswired.com, and click on the Let's Talk tab. All of my shows are listed there from newest to oldest, and I hope that you enjoy them. I really hope that you do. Also, please give me your feedback. Let me know what you think about the show, or if you need additional information, you can always hit me up on Instagram at @onwithbrianpettaway. I love to get feedback. It helps the show grow. It makes me feel good because I know that you're listening, and it makes me a better host, okay? So I look forward to your feedback. That is on Instagram at @onwithbrianpettaway. But otherwise, today, relax. Take a load off. Remember what I said at the beginning of the show? Give your body what it needs. If it needs rest, give it rest. But it needs to be active in a productive way, in the way of some cardio, during the week, just 20 minutes a day, people. Give your body 20 minutes a day to build. And then on Sunday or Saturday, whichever day you choose to be your rest day, let your body rest. Do not worry or stress about the things that you can't control. The things that you can control, however, control them and take care of those issues right away. Do not let them fester. Let me tell you something. Time is not your problem's best friend. Time only makes problems worse. So take care of your problems or issues right away. And then that way you can take care of those, they don't get bigger, but most importantly, you're not worrying or stressing about them for a long period of time, all right? But today is my day of rest, and I encourage you to do the same. It's beautiful out. If you want to take a quick, nice stroll, do that. Enjoy this weather, get that sun, but otherwise relax, because like I say every week, the best thing about doing nothing is you can quit whenever you want. So relax your body and your mind today, and wake up tomorrow morning completely refueled, ready to conquer the world and have an amazing week. I will join you next week with another brand new show with an interesting topic and a great guest right here on 1500 Radio, Baltimore's authentic multimedia experience. Have a great week, people. Peace.